In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Mondino and have me face him. Maybe I'll grill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
All right, Shime, it's time for They Said It. We've got the news coming in a couple minutes. Where do we begin this morning?
Well, Curtis, let's begin. We've been talking football a lot this morning, so let's begin. In the NFL, Mike Lombardi joined Pat McAfee yesterday and talked about how the San Francisco 49ers are not going to be trading Brandon Ayuk.
The NFL is not the NBA. You can't be James Harden in the NFL. You can't say, I demand a trade, and then Daryl Morey will trade you. Like, you could say all the demands you want, but the 49ers aren't trading Brandon Ayuk. Here's the real rub. They don't want to trade Ayuk, and they want to pay Ayuk. The difference here is simply this. He has a certain level of value, and they have a certain level of what they perceive as value. It's called a negotiation, right? And so that's really the rub. It isn't because we don't want you or they don't want him.
So, a couple things. Does Mike Lombardi not follow the NFL offseason? Like, Steph Diggs wanted to trade.
He got traded.
He got traded twice.
Right.
I mean, it happens all the time. Tyreek Hill.
Davante Adams.
Tyreek Hill wanted a new contract.
They traded him.
They traded him.
I mean, so I don't even know what, it's not like, it's literally, the receivers in the NFL are almost entirely like the NBA right now.
It's like the one position in football that is like NBA players.
Right. I mean, and even the quarterback, Brady began that, where you have Aaron Rodgers and, you know, Tom wasn't traded, but he was released of his contract. I mean, I don't know what he's talking about. I mean, I feel like maybe they won't trade Ayuk, but it's not won't be because teams don't trade for receivers that are disgruntled.
Right. I think if somebody offered the 49ers a first-round draft pick for Ayuk, I think they would trade him.
I mean, if the Patriots offered a first-round pick and they said no, they should be, like, think about that. I mean, I know Shime thinks Mahomes, worst case, you're looking at a 14 or a better draft pick next year for Ayuk if you get the Patriots' first-round pick.
Like, oh, you mean record-wise?
Yeah, I think the Patriots will be drafted if they have a great year.
Even if they're 8-9.
Right, you're looking at, what, 6-15, 16?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, at worst. Like,
at worst.
More likely that it's somewhere between 10 and 13.
Right. So why wouldn't they do that if they don't want to keep them long-term?
They would be stupid not to.
But here's what I'll say to you, Shime, about Drake May and weapons, right? If Drake May needs weapons around him, then why would you take him at 3 when you could surround a 7th-round pick with great players?
But that was kind of my lead this morning. I don't think you need better weapons. Like, I think if the quarterback is great, he elevates the people around him. Just like C.J. Stroud last year, Nico Collins was a nobody leading into last season, but because C.J. Stroud was excellent, he made Nico Collins a legit number one receiver, and Tank Dell in his rookie season was awesome. Like that's my whole point, is that I think when the quarterback is really good, you elevate the talent around you.
And I would say to this, Curtis, to that point, with case in point with a guy like Brandon Ayuk, what's easier to get, an elite receiver from a trade or a really good quarterback?
Elite receiver.
Yeah.
Right. So if you draft the young quarterback, you can always get that elite receiver who's going to be disgruntled in a trade.
Right.
It's going to, if you draft like Marvin Harrison, now you have to find the quarterback, and it's not as easy to find that guy as it is, or like I'm not even going to say an elite quarterback, but a really good quarterback. I mean, look at Trevor Lawrence and how much money they're paying him. So it's going to be very difficult for you to even trade for a guy like that.
Or look at Daniel Jones. Even in that level, you're right.
So now you're like, do we want Marvin Harrison Jr. with Daniel Jones or that type of quarter or a Geno Smith.
But you did want Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah, I didn't mind that.
But you would be fine if it was he and Jacoby Brissett?
No, hell no.
So then?
Because there was a conversation of Marvin Harrison Jr. and potentially getting a guy like Justin Fields or trading like a Dak Prescott next year. That was really the conversation. Mm-hmm. Like, you could convince me to do that. But you can't convince me Marvin Harrison Jr. and then Bo Nix in the second round or whoever that quarterback would have been. Give me Drake May, and then guess what? Brandon Ayuk wants out. Didn't T. Higgins want to be traded?
Right.
Yeah,
and
he
then
still
now
wants
you
to
just
be traded.
Now you just go get one of those guys.
Yeah, I think, and Courtney, I did want Marvin Harrison, and in hindsight, I think I may have been mistaken, because my reasoning behind drafting Marvin Harrison Jr. was, it is far more likely that Marvin Harrison Jr. is closely performing at the level he did in college in the NFL. Like, he is so talented.
He's going to hit more than,
right.
Yeah.
He's just not going to be, from my perspective, I don't think he's going to be a bust. There is the potential for busted quarterback. We've seen players that we all thought were going to be good turn into absolute dogs. So that's why I wanted Marvin Harrison Jr. But what Wiggy was just saying, and the way in which you're able to elevate, whether it's Tua or Brock Purdy or any one of these quarterbacks, you're able to get a known commodity wide receiver because there's always going to be one or two that feel like they're not getting market value. And no position in sports, really, recently, has had the renaissance that receivers have in the NFL the last couple of years in the NFL.
Well, in large part, it's because now, at a younger age, it's 7-on-7 football or flag football, right, where it's the athletes that are excelling, the receivers and the running backs, whereas offensive linemen have been kind of sparse to find. And so it becomes, there are always, every draft class now going forward is going to have a million great receivers, but there's going to be limited tackles and limited quarterbacks in every draft always.
Love it. All right, next, Chime.
Next, we'll stay in the NFL here. So ESPN has been releasing their lists of top 10 players at positions based on voting from scouts and executives across the league.
One quick interruption.
Go for it.
Don't let me forget. At 8, I need to talk about, have you seen this ESPN Top 100 athlete list?
Oh, yes. I heard Pat McAfee talking about it, but I didn't see it.
It is the worst list ever created.
Don't
let me forget.
All right,
8 o'clock. Okay, carry on.
Perfect. So ESPN's doing their top 10 players at each position in the NFL. One of the quotes about a quarterback came out. That would be about Josh Allen. The quote was basically saying that Josh Allen was extremely overrated. Dan Orlovsky not happy with who this anonymous executive was.
He's an idiot, that source, respectfully. I don't mean to be like that. That's moronic to say, first of all. Greeny, in the last four seasons, the only quarterback that has a better plus minus turnover to touchdown ratio is Patrick Mahomes. So he's the only guy that you would definitively, without question, take over Josh Allen. They've lost to Kansas City 3 times in the playoffs. I mean, Josh Allen is 2 or 3 plays away from being a multi-Super Bowl appearing quarterback and potentially Super Bowl winning quarterback. He's lost to Kansas City in the playoffs by freak defense and lost to Kansas City in the playoffs by missed field goal. It's a moronic statement to make, and for some reason, I don't know what the reason is, Josh Allen has become the cover boy for who could be the biggest hater and say the dumbest stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really agree with Orlovsky that much, but I'm with you. Josh Allen is, he's a tremendous player.
He's great, but this is what I don't
understand.
He's
not overrated, though.
No, he's absolutely right. He's not Patrick Mahomes, right, and he has to go through Patrick Mahomes every year, and he can't do it, which is understandable. Like, I get it. Right. He's just not Patrick Mahomes.
But that's what happens at that position when you don't win at all.
Yeah, but overrated saying is like...
But nobody in the AFC has won it all outside of Patrick Mahomes. So is every quarterback in the AFC overrated?
Well, yeah, Phillip Rivers was overrated. You know, all the guys that tried to win when...
Do you think Peyton Manning was overrated?
No.
Right.
But he won twice.
I get that, but I think when you're...
Up until 06, if the Patriots don't blow the AFC Championship of the 2006 season when they were making it 500 degrees and bringing in crowd noise at the RCA Dome... If they don't beat Rex Grossman in the Super Bowl, Peyton Manning is absolutely overrated. That at that stage of his career, he was an underperformer. How many one and duns did Peyton Manning have in the playoffs as a favorite?
Yeah, but Josh Allen, like, so my thing with Josh Allen is like, clearly, without a doubt, Patrick Mahomes is better than Josh Allen. We all agree there's no argument at this point because it's simply he loses to him every single time in the playoffs.
Right.
I get that. But if in a world where Patrick Mahomes doesn't exist, Josh Allen is cruising through the AFC every year.
I think
that's kind of the point.
Overrated, where people they give you this hype that you don't live up to. I don't think that's Josh Allen.
I think that people giving you the hype that you don't live up to is that you underperformed. Overachiever is like you're overachieving from what they thought you would be.
Right, right. Like Tom Brady's an overachiever.
Right.
Right, right. But I think when you say somebody's overrated, that means...
Overrated means people have this notion that you're this big thing and you're actually not.
Let me just ask this question. How many all-time great quarterbacks have been in their prime with a top five receiver and not won a Super Bowl? So you have Josh
Dan
Allen,
Marino?
Steph Diggs. Marino did not have a top five receiver.
I don't know. It's going at the...
Super duper. I mean, no. I do not think Marino had a top five receiver.
How many years did Peyton Manning have Marvin Harrison?
Right. He
for
won.
A while.
I mean, if he didn't, that's a great one.
Yeah, but Josh Allen has only had Steph Diggs for like 3 years. Or
right.
Two years.
I'm just
years,
explaining
right?
to you. To break through this next level... Where Josh Allen is and where he's trying to go, there is a huge chasm between being close. The NFL is littered with very talented people that got close and lost. Like Jim Kelly is never remembered as the greatest or top five quarterback of all time, even though he went to four straight Super Bowls. He was surrounded by great players. They never broke through. You know, Scott Norwood, sorry, wide right. But I don't think it's as absurd of as a claim for whoever the unnamed source is to say that Josh Allen needs to start advancing a bit.
Yeah, but
further.
He didn't say needs. He said he's overrated.
Well, at this stage, if you think he's an all-time great quarterback, he isn't.
Well, I don't think anybody's saying he's an all-time great quarterback. I just think he's the second best quarterback in football.
Where would you put him at quarterbacks in the NFL right now?
Number two.
Josh
after Patrick
Allen?
Mahomes.
No way.
Who would go better than Josh Allen?
Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen.
You know how much I love Lamar Jackson. Josh Allen is better than Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
I don't even think it's close.
I think Lamar Jackson is close. I think if Lamar Jackson had the weapons that Josh Allen has, they would be in the Super Bowl.
But Josh Allen has only had Steph Diggs, and last year Steph Diggs was like a shell of himself.
Steph Diggs 2 years ago, 3 years ago, was one of the more unstoppable forces in the entire league.
Mm-hmm.
If Lamar Jackson had anything approximating that, his best player is Mark Andrews, a tight end.
Yeah, but I think you're splitting hairs between Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson.
Well, that's what you do.
Yeah,
and if Josh Allen had the defenses that Lamar had, they might have been able to beat the Kansas City Chiefs.
I don't.
What happened that 13?
Bills' defense hasn't been too bad.
No, they've been decent. I agree with you, Chris.
If you rip Matt Milano, Courtney and I will punch you.
Yeah. I think when you talk about Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, I think they're relatively close. So you can
Joe Burrow's an interesting name to throw in there, though. If Joe Burrow was healthy.
He's beaten Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs, and if they didn't fix it the other year, he would have won twice in a row at Arrowhead.
But he's also just he's been unhealthy, as Courtney pointed out. He hasn't been healthy multiple times.
So Lamar Jackson hasn't been healthy.
I would say it's Mahomes, and then you could make the argument it's either Allen or Jackson. So I would put Josh Allen ahead of Joe Burrow, and I'd put Lamar Jackson ahead of Joe Burrow.
I agree.
So to me, it's Mahomes. And then you make the argument for either Allen or Lamar Jackson, and it could go either way. And then I would think it's the next guy down would be like a Joe Burrow, but he's got to stop proving he can stay healthy.
Yeah, and I think the NFL quarterback rankings, it's literally Patrick Mahomes, and then there's just like a huge – there's nobody – I mean, Patrick Mahomes' biggest rival is quarterbacks that are no longer playing.
Mm-hmm.
Like – he's won three. I think he's already passed Montana, even though he's one away from him. What Mahomes is going after is no longer.
Yeah,
in
there's
the
a couple tiers. You're right. And Mahomes is in the first one by himself. Then it's just about figuring out who the tier two guys are, and then who the tier three.
I mean,
guys are.
That 49ers team is so talented, and it literally was Mahomes. Like, there's no other way to break
that
down.
Like, it's the quarterback.
It's just the quarterback, and it sucks that it's that easy, but. It is.
I mean, that's why I said, can you imagine if Brady was playing for San Francisco?
Oh, yeah, my God. You were right, Wiggs. What's next, Shimer?
We got one last one for you here. This was Bronny James. He had a great summer league game, actually. Mm-hmm. A little bit of a bounce back for Bronny. Talked to the media and talked about what he's most excited for about playing with his dad and how their relationship is going to.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A change going forward.
Relationship with your father evolving on and off the court.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big step for both of us. Yeah, I feel like, you know, playing together, going to work together every day, this is going to build on the relationship we already have. You know, build that connection, maybe, you know, even stronger. But, you know, I'm excited to, you know, get to work on that.
What are you looking for, what are you looking forward to the most?
Going against each other in practice.
He has such an adult voice for a 19-year-old. You listen to that, you don't think he's 19. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, yeah.
It's
going
a good head on the shoulder. You know, I got to give, if you haven't seen Gilbert Arenas, he has a podcast. And you got to get, you should check it out. But he makes a lot of, like, valid points for defending Bronny James, which, and I didn't realize this. And he brought this up, one of the guys that, you know, we love here, and Jaylen Brown. He said through the first three games, like, the, you know, the criticism of Bronny.
Yeah.
Through the first three games, Bronny, I think, was like 6 of 26. And Jaylen Brown, through his first three summer league games, was like 5 of 26. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like, obviously, I get it wasn't talked about because Jaylen Brown was the third overall pick and Bronny's 55th. And just like the criticism or just the microscope that he's under. And I get it. Your dad is LeBron. But just to, like, see, like, how much he's getting scrutinized.
Yeah.
And then they put up a stat against the number one overall pick. And it was just, like, it was interesting just to see the criticism that he gets just because of who his father is.
Right. Yeah. I think he was drafted where he was because of his dad, yep, which is a good thing. And then he gets extra scrutiny because of his dad, which is a bad thing. And
right,
that's, you know, as Courtney just said, I mean, I think he's... If anybody was prepared for what was about to come into his world, it is Bronny. I remember back to when LeBron was finishing up his senior year of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And Dick Vitale, I was in my dorm at BC watching Dick Vitale call whatever the – it was a Catholic – I don't know what the school was.
Some Irish, I forget.
And it was the first time in my life I'd ever seen ESPN covering – college basketball. And I've said it before, LeBron, and I don't agree with a lot of the things he says, but from 2002 until 2024, he has been in the Mount Rushmore of biggest sports stars in America, where there really is, you know, the biggest negative nationally is that he got his kid onto his team. Like,
right.
Which everybody would do if they had the opportunity.
Right. Well, like think about LeBron, and I know we...
St. Mary's? Is that
something along those lines.
Anyway.
But when he came into the league, and there's never been a player like him, he came into the league with, as like you said, a 17-year-old kid on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Right, he's like Bryce Harper, like those two. Bryce Harper was like 13 on the cover of SI and LeBron.
Right, but the thing that made it even more difficult for LeBron is they were saying, could he be better than Jordan?
Right.
So, like, you haven't even played a game in the NBA, and you see other players coming into the league, but when they were comparing and saying, could this kid be better than Michael Jordan, think about how much pressure that has to be for somebody who's 17, and like you said, he's been in the league, and he's kind of lived up to the hype, and he's off the court. He's never had any, like, issues cheating on his wife or, you know, multiple baby mamas or getting in trouble.
Right. Tyreek Hill, is he a dad again yet since the last
year? Fifth time this year,
but his wife is pregnant.
Oh, good. Well,
like 12 kids. Damn.
The best tweet or text when we were talking about that was like, 17 years from now, it's going to be a hell of an NIL class.
Yeah, that's going to be tough.
Well, that's what they said. It. Thank you, Shime. Looking very svelte in that Drake May number 10.
Appreciate you. It's a comfy jersey.
You should put the May on the front as well, so people aren't confused.
Yeah, it's very confusing.
It's very off-putting for the hate you had for the former number 10.
That's fair.
Or how about, like, not Mac?
Well, not Mac on the front, May on the back.
Or you should start a petition to get to Drake May for him to change his number.
But he already bought the jersey.
Right. No.
But it's all right. He can get another one. Like, I think Drake May has to change his number because it's like every time I see that 10, I'm like.
If he was like 18, you could just throw a white mark in the middle of it to make it an 8.
Yep, that would work. Yeah. Or, like, yeah, just say, you know, I agree, Wiggy. I think he should just change his number.
You should do like those Pats fans did, do the half Brady, half Tampa, half New England. He should do half Mac, half May.
Never. I will never wear anything with Mac Jones on it.
Thank you, Shime. The news with Courtney comes up next.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl,
Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.